thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Well,
here's John Williams.
I better come up with something just in case. It's 108, and this is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, White Sox baseball, for winning that game yesterday. I'm glad that if I'm going to be gone, the White Sox won a game at home finally. It's about time, fellas. Let's go now. There we go on a... But here's what I got to do. I got to think of something to ask President Bill Clinton if he comes by. The word is that the former president is walking up and down Michigan Avenue.
What?
I don't know if he's got people with him. I can't imagine that he doesn't, but he's just walking around saying, hey. What's going on? You got a real nice city here, and dang, the flowers are going to be beautiful. You single? So he's walking around.
Yeah, I think I have a better chance of talking to him than you do.
Well, so if he does walk by the microphone, I just saw Ryan Burrow from WGN Radio News / ABC News walk by, along with Todd Manley, our manager, and Stephanie and some of the other management team members. No, I think they're just looking for a glimpse. But what do you do when you're Bill Clinton? You're just strolling up and down Michigan Avenue looking for some shoes. Are you shopping? Are you going to pop into the Panera over there? I don't know what you're going to do. So he's walking around. And I'm like, if he comes by the microphone and I go, hey, Mr. Clinton. And he'll go, hey, you do me pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think you should do your impression.
You seem like a pretty nice guy. And I go, well, you and your wife Hillary are all thumbs up to me. And then the next thing you know, he and I bonded. Here's the point. I've got to have a go-to question. I've got to have, like, if you could ever ask Bill Clinton a question when he's walking by the street and he's willing to take it, what's the question going to be?
Do you want to get dinner?
No, that's not an invite. It's like, because that's not going to happen. He's going to give you, you're going to get one shot. You're in the elevator. You're going up one floor. You get one Q and one A. What is it? Bam, I need to know. 312-981-7200. Text or call, 312-981-7200. President Clinton's coming by any moment now. Or not. It may not even be true. But the rumor is that he's walking around Michigan Avenue. You know, they got this Apple store right over here, and I'll tell you what, that technology can't be beat. Maybe he's doing an endorsement. Hey, I got the iPhone 12. You got to admit I'm doing a pretty good Bill Clinton, right? I mean, it's killing you.
I mean, I think you're doing a great job. I just don't think Bill Clinton will think you're doing a great job.
I don't know. That's my question. Hey, what do you think about Bill Clinton? You know, what a shame. There's Bill Clinton, and you've got one question to ask him. I mean, you can make a little history, or you could just maybe get a twist on a political story of the day. What do you think of Syria? And I'm going to waste it on, what do you think of my impersonation of you, sir?
Did you put your Facebook on private?
Well, that would be a relevant news-based question. Hey, do you care that your information's being shared? Yeah.
I think he would.
You know, so much of his information has been. I mean, what are we going to find out that isn't already humiliating enough for him? So, I don't know. We're going to talk about that Zuckerberg testimony the last couple of days before Congress in the 2 o'clock hour. Our friend Mark Baser. I see the phone lines are ringing and people are calling in with questions for President Clinton. He's not here, but if you had one shot, what would it be? We'll visit with our friend Mark Baser, who is doing his talk show at The Hideout. You watch it on Channel 11. He's always a fun conversation. He'll join us at 1:30. But I'm not kidding. So I'm back today, Thursday, for the first time since I was talking to you on a weekday last Friday. There was the weekend, and then Monday through Wednesday, we had White Sox baseball here on WGN Radio. So how about that Masters, huh? I had so many interesting things to say about the Masters. I guess I'm just going to cross that off. Credit card signatures are going away. It was the news earlier in the week. I was going to talk to you about that. Here's the cliff notes on that. Good idea. Nobody pays attention to those signatures anyway. Are we all on the same page on that? My Facebook post on our 2019 trip to France. If you follow me on social media, I'm WGN King John. And on Facebook yesterday, I posted a notice from our friends at Kelly Cruises that Brenda and I are going to lead a cruise down the Seine from Paris to Normandy next year. I know next year sounds a long ways off, but that's the way these cruises go. Next year will be the 75th anniversary of D-Day, of the invasion of Europe and the storming of the beaches of Normandy. So we are going to, on the 75th anniversary, be there. Not on the D-Day, but we will be there within several weeks of it. It'll be the 75th anniversary. Even if it were not, a trip from Paris to Normandy and back to Paris sounds like a nice use of 7 or 8 days, doesn't it? So we're going to take one of those river cruises, stop and drink wine, then get back on the boat and drink wine, and go to Normandy and drink wine, that sort of thing. If you want to know more and if you want to tag along, it's on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. And by the way, they just quietly put that out to some people who have traveled with us in the past, and 30 people instantly signed up. It's not going to be till 2019. I would look at it now if you're at all interested. I have not been invited to the royal wedding. Theresa May hasn't been. The Trumps haven't been. The Obamas weren't. The Clintons weren't. Maybe that's why he was thinking, I'll be in town. Maybe I'll pick him up some gifts, get him a nice watch here at the nice watch store on Michigan Avenue. The Clintons weren't invited. I love that about this couple, that they are not going to make it a political You know, it's so easy when you tell all the politicians that you're not going to invite any of them, because then it avoids the embarrassing, well, we asked the Obamas, but we didn't ask the Trumps. That's awkward. So just don't invite any of them. That's a good solution. Some of us do that when we're planning our own weddings, when we say, well, we couldn't invite the cousins or the second extension of the family or anybody from work because we just only had so many resources. You know, there's only so much money in the budget. I don't know that that's a problem for this couple, but I like it. Here's some questions for President Clinton if he walks by. Steve, did you know President Clinton is out there somewhere? What was the highlight of your presidency? That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is good. Much better than ours.
Well, I'm not so sure. What do you think about Bill Clinton? I ran into Bill Clinton yesterday, John, on Illinois and LSD. He shook my hand and looked at me for a long time like a friend. He was so personable. No, that I believe that text. This one says, John, ask President Clinton about his grandkids. He will visit a while. That is true. It's like Steve Cochran. If you want to get to know Steve Cochran, say, hey, can I see a picture of that granddaughter of yours? An hour later, you and he will be best friends. Ask somebody about their grandkids. John asked Clinton, did you ever smoke that cigar? John, was it a Cuban cigar? To Clinton, was it worth it all? As in the adventure and the sacrifices to get where he was and where he is? I think that's a great question for any politician on their deathbed or later in life. Was it worth it all, Paul Ryan? The fame, the glory, the power, the control, the chance to shape America for the better, but the sacrifices to your family, your life, your own identity. I mean, how is history going to remember Paul Ryan as he decides to exit? And you look at him and you say, was it worth it all? And you could do that to Bill Clinton, too. Ask Clinton what he thought of being the first man if Hillary was going to be president. I think he would have been a good first man. You know, I think people were worried that he might have exerted maybe more influence than you wanted, but I think Hillary was a force unto herself. That was not going to be Bill Clinton's term.
It is interesting that, you know, the sad or sordid part of his legacy is back to the forefront now.
What do you mean?
The Ken Starr stuff and all of that.
Oh, yeah, right.
Was, you know, a long way toward being put to bed.
Yeah, right.
Is now right back out front and center.
It wasn't relevant. We didn't have to talk about it anymore, and generally we weren't. And now all of a sudden the improprieties of a president are ever so germane, and how we handle that reflects on how we should handle this. If it's apples to apples, by the way, I think the president had better gird his loins, as Joe Biden once said, because people do seem to have an appetite for this sort of thing. We say we don't, but we do. And here's a good question from 815 to Bill Clinton if he walks by. Hey, Mr. Clinton, did you really want her to win? Well, of course I did. I love her. I think she'd be a great woman for the country. But the question is, did you really want her to win? I guess implied there is, did you want to be the only Clinton president? Did you worry that she would overshadow you as a president? I don't think there was any hope of that. Or any worry about that. I think a Hillary Clinton presidency would have been a complete stalemate. Whatever the Trump presidency is, the Clinton presidency, were it Hillary, would have been a complete stalemate. Congress would, there would be four new Fox channels all feeding off of Hillary Clinton. There'd be Hillary Clinton 1, Hillary Clinton 2, and Hillary Clinton 3 and 4, and they would all just be driving Hillary Clinton stories. Who did she assassinate? What's in her email? It would just be nonstop, and the Congress would be not cooperative. If you think we're, you know, not getting much done now, trust me, we'd be getting every bit as little done with Hillary as president where she had to win. Well, he hasn't walked by, so we'll give him a pass. We'll give him a pass. Back to Paul Ryan for just a second. On the CBS Morning News today, there's a guy with white hair and a sports jacket, but that's not him.
Okay, you're going to have to focus.
I can't. Bill Clinton may walk by at any moment.
He was in a blue polo, not a jacket.
How do you know that? Is that the word? Is there a picture, Steve?
There might be.
All right. They asked Speaker Ryan, they said, that's me doing it.
Okay, CBS, Speaker Ryan this morning.
So Gayle King did an interview with him in his office after he, you know, said that he's not going to run for re-election. He'll keep his speakership, though, until the end of his term. All fair enough. She had a question for him that I think was well put, and I'd like you to hear his answer in a minute on WGN. Before we go to the Speaker Ryan audio, Susan wanted to say something or tell us what happened to her. Hey, Susan, you're on WGN.
Hi, how are you? Love your show, John.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So it's not really what I would say to him now. It's kind of recounting a really stupid thing I said to him already. Way back when he had his book come out, I bought the book and a ticket to the signing on eBay, and I went and stood in line for hours thinking about what I was going to say when I met him. And they had, you know, the books on the table, and he's standing behind the table, and they're wheeling you through kind of like cattle, and you go there, and he picks up the book, he signs it, you shake his hand, and you may say something to him, and you leave. My turn. I look at him, we lock eyes, and I say, God, are you handsome? And I wanted to crawl under the table.
I know, this is your one big moment. Actually, of all of the things you could say to him, if you wanted to endear yourself to him, he probably enjoyed hearing that as much as what was the proudest moment of your career or something, you know.
He did. He actually said, well, I can't do it. You could do it better. I can't do it. Thank you very much, ma'am. Or something like that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Hey, you're not bad looking yourself.
Exactly.
No. You know, I'll bet we could do probably a whole book on people when you had your moment, and there you were with Michael Jordan. There you were talking to, pick the star or celebrity that you wanted to be in the company of, and then you choked. You said something stupid or wrong or whatever, you know.
I had a Michael Jordan one, too.
Really? You're not telling me that you were also in the presence of Michael Jordan, are you?
I was.
And what did you say to him?
Okay, stupid story. I'm in a Hallmark. Actually, we weren't in the store yet. I was walking in the mall with my now ex-husband, and he didn't want any, you know, I kind of...
You know why he's your ex-husband? Because whenever you see another guy, you tell him he's handsome. But keep going. You're doing a great job.
So I'm looking into this Hallmark store, and there's Michael Jordan. So I run into the store, and I pretend that I'm looking at a card near him, and there's two old ladies, and one whispers to the other, isn't that the basketball player? And I'm like laughing under my skin anyway. So I tap him on the shoulder. You have to understand I'm like 5'2". So I tap him on the shoulder. He turns around and then looks down, excuse me, and he says, oh, hi there. And I just like shake my, you know, he holds out his hand, and I shake his hand, and I say, oh, this is like in the 80s, too. And I say, oh, you know, I just love you. I go to all your games and blah, 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 blah. And he goes, thank you very much. And then he looks at me and he says, you have a nice holiday. And then I go, okay, and I walk out, and I'm thinking, what an idiot. I had all these cards there. I could have grabbed any card, asked him for his autograph, but I didn't.
No, I think that's sweet. I'll bet celebrities appreciate more that kind of interaction when they're not asked for something. You know, you gave him a compliment. You did not ask for an autograph in return. I think that was a nice...
Yeah, but how fun would it have been to send a Christmas card to someone signed by Michael Jordan?
Exactly.
Yeah, you blew it, Susan.
He really was sweet. He was nice.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Join us again.
Thank you.
All right. I was going to take some other calls, but let's move on. Speaker Ryan was in his office. Gayle King from CBS was there this morning, too. She was asking him about why he left and was it due to Trump fatigue.
You were the topic of conversation on the train. I heard two schools of thought. Yay, freedom for him, or what happened to Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
Did Trump fatigue in any way play a role?
No, the other factor is I feel like I've actually gotten most done what I wanted to do. So I've been here 20 years in Congress. I'm an old Jack Kemp guy. I've been working on tax reform since I got here. It's why I became chair of Ways and Means Committee. The point being, it's basically two reasons.
Okay,
I've accomplished most of what I wanted to accomplish,
okay.
And like I said, I don't want to be a weekend dad for my kids' entire life
okay.
at home.
So you're very happy with your decision. But still, I go back to many people who say, if we had a different president in the White House, he would still be there. After a while, it just got to the point. You know, this is what people said to me, Mr.
Yeah.
Speaker. What happened to Paul Ryan?
And that is, I think, the question that he's going to need to answer to his kids when he spends more time with them. They're going to get older. They're going to have kids of their own, and someday they're going to look back at their famous father's service to this country, and they're going to say, on the exit, why didn't you speak the truth to power? Why didn't you say something more critical when you had a chance? There's a picture of you at dinner with a big thumbs up. Why weren't you fighting for the rest of us more? Seriously, if you're going to leave because of Trump fatigue, and you are, then why don't you say something? What are they going to do? Not elect you? You're not even going to run in your own district.
I mean, you could write this as an American tragedy.
I think it is.
In a way, and politics specifically aside, but here's a guy who, you know, was on this great trajectory, ran for vice president, really wanted to be the budget committee chairman or so he could rewrite the tax. I don't know if it's appropriation. I think it's budget.
He was on House of Ways and Means for a
maybe
long time.
Maybe it was Ways and Means that he wanted to be chairman of. Had to leave that to become speaker. So that was his first distraction and then just was gobbled up by the Trump stuff. So this guy who was on his way up now will always be associated with the speaker during the Trump administration.
If ever there were a time that the speakership was gutted, it's when Donald Trump is transforming the party right from beneath you. So what do you say about that? He's got time. He may find his voice yet. Pretty crazy, though, in the same week that the White Sox played in a blizzard, you've got 74 degrees outside.
Man. That's Chicago, my friend.
Yeah, no kidding.
Stay classy.
It's 1:38. That's Steve Bertram. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. I want to play for you and talk a little bit about what Mark Zuckerberg has said before members of Congress in the next hour. We'll kind of walk through. I think some of the questions and answers were just fascinating. I know that some of this is old, but it's new to me. I wasn't here yesterday. And I don't know. Well, clearly on this day part anyway, we weren't talking about it because it was White Sox baseball. And I'm pretty sure Ed and DJ didn't bring it up. So we'll talk a little bit about that in the 2 o'clock hour. Mark Baser is here. He's a friend of ours. He's the host of the interview show at The Hideout, which you can see at The Hideout on Friday nights and also watch on TV. It's coming on Channel 11 again tomorrow night at 7:30. I got a couple calls to take. Do you mind?
Sure.
You can participate
in
these calls.
It's your radio show.
It certainly is. I just thought I'd let you know that, though. We were talking about Paul Ryan.
Can I take some calls on my phone? Well,
no, that would be rude.
Calls? Okay.
Do you think it's rude to invite you into the show and then I take calls the same way what you just suggested is?
No. Take some calls.
We just so you know, moments ago we're talking about Paul Ryan announcing that he's not going to run for re-election.
48 years old, too, right?
And I said, well, 20 years in Congress, though. I mean, that's a nice run. And I think he could have been in there for 22 if he wanted.
Nobody does this, though. Nobody at that height of power steps down like
Well, that's it. I don't think the power was that high anymore. And also, I think looking back, he's going to have some splaining to do to his kids that he wants to no longer be a weekend dad to. I mean, really, Dad. Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you do something? Why are you smiling at me?
Well, I'm just thinking, this is the time in their lives where they're thinking, parents, get away from me.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
There aren't many teenagers that are going, oh, good, Dad's going to come and live with us all the time.
And think of the rebellion. I hate you, Dad. You wouldn't stand up to the president.
I know. You really can't win. Really, if you're raising them right, I don't know how old his kids are, but I'm figuring probably middle, late teens. They don't want you around so much.
No.
If they don't want you around, then you've done it right.
That's right.
You know, if your kids you're just, Dad. You know,
I
you
know.
See Paul Ryan, the door slides open in the minivan, And there's his kids with long faces going on my dad's back.
Well, he's going to have to borrow the car from them. I mean, they're used to having the car.
It'll be an adjustment for all of them. Listen, I'm happy for them and the family. I totally get that. But I just think he would do them well if he spoke a little more honestly about what I believe are his feelings about this president and why he's leaving.
Well, he was, I mean,
they're Ryans. Everybody knows who the Ryan kids are in Janesville. I think he would do them a favor if he'd own this a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he was in, from what I've read, and I don't know too much about it, a really tough position in Washington. He came in and he didn't want to be in the position to begin with, if I remember correctly. Boehner was kicked out, and he was the guy who could bring together the kind of Tea Party Republicans and the more traditional Republicans, and he also was considered, whether he is or not, I don't know, a wonk of sorts. And then this new moment where the Republican Party is more controlled by people in the Trumpian populist vein not his.
And then the orange tornado shows up, and it kind of doesn't matter how you were perfectly positioned. By the way, the record high temperature for today has just poured in. Elif, what is the record high temperature for today?
Chicago's record high temperature on April 12th, 1971 was 85 degrees.
Wow. 85, and we're at 74, so we're nowhere near
that. It's going to snow on Sunday, right? I think so.
It might.
Yeah.
Ron wanted to say something about all of this. Ron, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hello, John. John, just looking at Ryan and his accomplishments, he's done a great deal for the billionaires with that tax break, and he was paid off right away by the Koch brothers. Wasn't he given a big contribution, a payoff right after that by the Koch brothers, if I'm not mistaken? And I'll bet you a job was also offered with that, offering millions of dollars. And he also has to still get that Foxconn deviation of Lake Michigan to their factory, which will violate the Great Lakes agreements with all the surrounding states. It's going to extend it so they get a special treatment for water.
Did you hear our show about the watershed agreement? Did you hear us talk about that on this show?
No, I didn't.
No, fair enough. I appreciate the call. It's not clear if that's a violation or not, and I don't know that his coming and going has that much to do with that. At the end of the day, that Foxconn thing might actually be good for Wisconsin and not as bad for Lake Michigan as it sounds. That's where my head is on that right now. But I wonder, Ron, thank you for the call, where he's going to go next. Like, I'll bet you could cash in. Would you blame a guy for going, all right, I could make $1 million working for a think tank? Or I don't know who gives you $1 million, but I'll bet there's a lot of money to be made. Yeah, well, okay, fine. Would you blame him for being that? I wouldn't. I would now tell my kids, hey, listen, I'm not going to be at your softball game, but I'm making $1 million. I think that's not a bad use of dad's time.
I also think he's going to run again.
For?
Dog catcher? I don't know. I mean, he's going to governor he could run for. I don't know the state of affairs in Wisconsin. He could also run for Senate at some point.
Yeah.
He could try to run for president. I mean, that's not out of the question
and
either.
He doesn't have to do anything for 25 years, and he still would fit right in the age group. No, really.
No, you're right.
I mean, he's so young.
I mean, in some ways, if he's thinking that way, and I wouldn't expect a politician to think as cynically as me, but, 4 years from now, the tide may have turned in the Republican Party. His breed of Republicanism might be back in style.
Which isn't a bad breed. My criticism of Paul Ryan here, notwithstanding today, I have liked him a lot more than some of my friends have. I've always thought that he was principled, that he was smart, that he meant well, that he was a wonk the way you needed one.
He's in great shape.
No, I'm not kidding. He needs to find a way to wear his pants better and smile better.
Well, his problem was that people I don't think liked about him is like you were saying, now would be the time, if you really have feelings about the president, to say them, but he's never been one to, in people's mind at least, to be quite honest about what he feels he's a typical politician in that sense.
I hear you on that. Real quick, Mike, and then we'll talk about your show.
We can just talk about this.
Mike, you're on WGN Radio. Welcome. How are you?
Good, John. How are you?
What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I think there's more to this than meets the eye, this thing with Ryan. And it's not been discussed much in the media, if at all. Certainly not the mainstream media. Maybe there's a reason it hasn't, because of the investigation going on and whatnot. But, you know, back during the Republican National Convention, Manafort was Trump's campaign manager. And one of the things they accomplished, Manafort and Trump, accomplished their agenda being to change the RNC's platform away from, there was something in there about Russian...
Ukraine? So what about all of that? What's your point?
Well, the fact is they changed it, okay? And there were, at that time, there was a lot of money that came.
You're telling me that Paul Ryan is caught up in the Russia-Ukraine Trump campaign conspiracy?
Paul Ryan was Speaker of the House. He was a titular head, along with Mitch McConnell. Those guys knew. They didn't change that platform without those guys having some input.
Listen, that's an interesting theory. Thank you, Mike. If you're right, you are the first person to say that publicly. As much as we know about where these investigations are going, including this latest $30,000 payoff of a doorman at a Trump hotel, nobody has suggested that. Not that I've heard of. Not that I've heard of. But maybe you heard it here first. Thank you for the call. John Paul Ryan is going to run for president, says 414 from 630. I wish I could afford to retire and spend more time with my family at the age of 48. I wonder what his... Hey, Aleph, what are the... But I am wondering, can he afford to retire at 48?
What has he done in the private sector?
I want to know what his...
He's been in Congress forever.
What's his
since
financial...
28.
Right, and you never, you don't get rich being that. You're comfortable.
What does his wife do?
I don't know. Elif, what is the financial status?
I have some
status?
Questions for Elif as well.
Hold on just a second. Find out how able to retire Paul Ryan is. She doesn't do well on broad-based questions. I need to narrow it down. How much money do the Ryans have? How much money does the Paul Ryan family have? Your show is coming up Tuesday night on Channel 11.
Friday night.
Friday night.
And Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's, why do I have Tuesday night? You're on Tuesday night, aren't you?
Well, it's really, I mean, it premieres each episode on Friday, and then they re-air it on Tuesdays.
I see. Yeah. So, what's
so
today?
So if you want to watch it twice.
Has that been published? Today's Thursday.
So tomorrow.
So what's the next episode about?
The next episode features three guests, one of whom is a woman named Whitney Middleton. She's awesome. She's probably 23, 24. She's the stylist for a few musicians here in Chicago, including Chance the Rapper and Jamila Woods.
Okay, I was at this show.
Yeah.
I was at this show. I was in the audience.
She tells a great story about Kanye and how she was called in somehow. Kanye was doing that Chance was doing a festival at White Sox Park, and Kanye was a surprise guest. And she is not a... If I tell the story, it sounds terrible. All she did was steam Kanye's shirt. But the way she told it, with her kind of giddy exuberance about getting a chance to, like, interact with Kanye, was awesome.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's killing the fun of the story to say where the suit was when she was steaming it or the shirt.
Well, it was on him, but then
that's what I mean.
But then he took it off, right? So he was shirtless.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, so
she started to do it, I think, with his shirt on, and
then
she's
he
like,
takes it off.
And then he takes it off,
and there she's standing, she
and
touch Kanye.
He's her hero, or musician, musical hero.
Yeah.
So she was great. I really liked talking to her. She's from Joliet. She's not what you'd call, like, from your typical fashion background, but she just had a grandmother, I guess, who instilled in her a belief in creating what you want out of what you want, and she's self-made, you know, in that way.
She is Chance the Rapper's stylist. That's part of the lineup that Mark Baser has on the interview show with Mark Baser.
And then we have...
That was me pausing the interview.
Because there's a commercial.
To play a commercial.
That's right.
But that's not even the
we
best.
We have Duck Sienna Beds on the show. Do you still do that one?
Hold on a second. No, it's My Pillow. I've done commercials for Duxiana beds.
I know. That's what I...
Those are good beds.
They really are good beds.
They are so expensive, you cannot believe it, beds.
They would be a great sponsor for a public television show.
Do you know what
show.
Like a Duxiana bed costs?
$2,000?
I think it's like $10,000 for a king size.
Is it a bigger king size than your average king size?
It's a king size bed with wooden legs and a mattress.
Is it filled? Does it do adjusting?
No,
you can't see that on the radio.
It's not.
No, it's
it just sits there, and it's a
Duxiana
bed.
Yeah.
But it's pretty damn awesome. I think it's $10,000.
$10,000.
Elif, what's a king-size Duxiana bed cost? Actually, we don't have that. Do we have the Ryan's net worth yet?
Can the Ryans afford a Duxiana bed?
Let's hear it.
Paul Ryan is worth $7.8 million.
Oh! Yeah, he can retire.
Are you kidding?
How? How? Do you know how?
Most of his money came from his mother-in-law.
Oh, so it's in the family, huh?
Yeah, from her side of the family.
It's 150.
She passed away.
It's 150. We'll pause here. More with Mark Baser. Watch him tomorrow night and then on Tuesday nights as well. 7:30
p.m.
On Channel 11, WTTW. What are you going to see? We'd like to preview it a little bit with Mark. We'll pick it up here in a minute. By the way, do you want to know what a Duxiana bed costs? Elif, what is a twin-size Duxiana cost?
A twin size retails at $3,550, John.
And do you have a king size?
A king size retails at $6,700, John.
All right, that's still a lot, but it's not as high as I had it at 10.
You were thinking about two of them.
I was not. Mark Baser, what else are you doing on the interview show with Mark Baser on Channel 11 tomorrow night at 7:30?
We also have a rapper, Joseph Chilliams, who is great. He showed up in an all-pink sweatsuit, which I liked.
He's cute.
That's what he kept saying. He wanted to be the cutest rapper, which is not what you expect a rapper
to say. How old is
he? 22. This was the show where I had people who made me feel ancient. But he was great. I loved talking to him. He had a really hard year, too, that we talked about. I mean, he was really a fun guy, but he had been attacked in his neighborhood earlier in the year.
And that kind of rolls with it, too.
Yeah, yeah, he told it in I told a very sad story in a funny way. He also had a friend who, I don't think we talked about it too much, but a friend who got shot and died also in the same year. But then at the end of the year, he came out with a pretty joyous record, and he's on tour now with his brother named Saba, who's a pretty big rapper in his own right.
I just had so much respect for him because it was an audience of maybe, how many folks are there? 100, 200 people?
100, 120 people.
Okay, and none of them look like him. They're all older than him, mostly white crowd. And here's this young black kid who is now going to stand up in front of that crowd and own it. I don't know where some of these people get this kind of charisma or confidence.
You know, I don't know whether it doesn't matter whether you're black or white or whether you're from Chicago or kids we see at Parkland High. I think like there's something about the generation coming up right now.
They got no fear.
They're good. They're really smart and they know so much. Maybe it's through growing up with the internet. And when I was 22, either I was napping or saying something stupider than I'm saying now.
But I was watching him in the crowd because I could tell, I thought, oh, I bet that's one of Mark's guests, right? And he had a couple of siblings with him or friends.
Yeah.
And they were kind of laughing and elbowing him and stuff like that before he gets up there. And the takeaway I had was that he saw this scene I just described not as something to be nervous about, but an opportunity. It's like, oh, wow, I get to do this in front of them. And he just killed it. I mean, he was really good.
You know how he came on, too? He came on because I was coming on your show. This is a true story. I was coming on your show, and I knew who he was, and I wanted to get him on, but I just had not gotten in contact with him. And he walked past here.
The Showcase Studio.
The Showcase Studio, while I was walking past the Showcase Studio, and I said, hey, I know you. And then we talked, and then that's how it all happened. Hmm. So you brought us together.
Well, thank you very much. What is his name again?
Joseph Chilliams.
Joseph Chilliams. So he'll be performing. Did you include in the edit his
singing? We didn't. We're going to look at, hold on. It's going to be a web exclusive.
Oh, nice. Nice. Is it because it was blue? I'm trying to remember.
No, it wasn't blue. You know what we were told? This is true. We were told that musical performances are times when people turn off or change the channel. And so I said, all right, we'll just put it up on the web. Yeah. I like them. I wish we could just keep them on. But
I'd look at it online.
That's what the network told me.
I would watch on Channel 11 tomorrow night and then the following Tuesday night, the interview show with Mark Baser. I'm out of time, Mark. I wish you well. I know your neck is sore. I hope that you feel better soon.
Yeah, don't go to the chiropractor I went to.
Well, just...
I need a Duxiana bed right now.
Make sure you know the doctor's going to snap your neck before
he does. I didn't know.
Does.
He just started snapping.
That's what chiropractors do, Mark.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
We called it.
Here's John Williams.
Yodeling boy. Mm-mm. In a minute, it's 2:07 on WGN. This is John Williams in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We're on Michigan Avenue. I'm here weekdays from 1 to 3 and Saturdays 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Like me and follow me on social media, please. I'm WGN King John on Facebook, Twitter. Instagram. I'll come to your door and introduce myself as WGN King John. Lots of folks are reading producer Griffin's from the Saturday show's list of seven more movies. He continues to watch a movie a day. Some people have all sorts of New Year's resolutions and ambitions. Griffin's resolve this year has been to watch a movie a day. And he's reviewing them now and again on our show in short little summaries. The movies are all new to him. They might not be new. Casablanca was new to him. Here to Eternity, that sort of thing.
Has he been complaining about it at all? Or
no, he's totally vested. Right. He's digging it. I said, well, like, what have been the best movies you've seen so far? He said, well, I haven't really put it that way. I said, well, maybe you should. So he is going to write a piece for us soon of not the seven he's seen most recently, but, you know, a third of a year in. What are, let's see, January, February, March, third or fourth of a year in. What are some of the best movies you've seen so far? And we will get that list up soon. So, you remember the little yodeling boy at the Walmart?
Yeah.
This went on the internet a couple weeks ago. Just standing there in a Walmart. Just standing in a Walmart in southern Illinois. Adorable kid, blue jeans, great big cowboy belt buckle, long sleeve white shirt buttoned at the collar, tie. So he's doing his yodeling thing, right? And he's just so sweet. You know, in this age of cynicism and judgment and blah, blah, blah. This is nice to see a sweet little kid singing in a Walmart and everybody loving it, and that's all. And it is that simple, hopefully. You know, I hope this isn't some sort of reality TV show stunt and he's actually going to be commodified and commercialized. But you knew that he would end up on Ellen. I mean, that's why we have an Ellen.
You said it the first time you played it.
I saw you singing at Walmart. Do you always sing at Walmart?
Yeah.
How come?
Well, because that's the only store we've got.
Uh-huh.
And my dream is to sing at the Grand Ole Opry.
At the Grand Ole Opry?
Yeah.
That's a big dream, because it takes years and years to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But Walmart, how many times have you performed in Walmart?
Like 50,000 times.
50,000?
So he's not a one-off. I mean, he's just not some annoying kid whose mom thinks he's adorable, and she says, hey, honey, go over there and sing for the folks in the store. He wants to be in the Grand Ole Opry someday.
And after 50,000, I'm sure the employees at Walmart are encouraged when he comes back.
Yeah, I don't know how the employees of the Walmart feel about that kid with the cute hat walking in again. Here we go again. Mom's going to stand there with the phone, and we got to listen to the yodeling. I don't know much about yodeling. I'm not sort of an accomplished yodeler like Violetta Padromedic is.
I wouldn't say I'm accomplished, but I've yodeled.
You talk smack about this kid, and you didn't think that he was all that. I thought he was adorable and good.
He is adorable. He definitely, even on Ellen, though, was playing up that country boy thing.
Well, I think he's for, don't you think he is just a simple little kid from down southern Illinois?
In part of the interview, he's like, you know, I'm just a country boy. I want to go lay on a pile of hay and, I don't know, whatever when you chew on a piece of hay is called. I don't know. It just seemed a little much.
Wow. Wow.
I don't think he actually goes home and does that.
I think he does. I mean, I don't know. I haven't thought about that, but I think he's authentic. I think he's as adorable and uncoached as he seems. Sure, he's coached a little bit. I mean, somebody had to do his hair. But I think he's just a nice little kid who likes yodeling and has got a bit of a talent for it.
Yeah, I definitely think the yodeling comes from a genuine place.
Okay.
I just don't know if the interview did.
All right, so here then is the genuine yodeling on the Ellen Show.
All right, so you're going to perform for us right now, right?
Yes.
I can't wait. All right.
I got a feeling, God, I'm blue. Oh, Lord, said my baby, say goodbye. Huh. Lord, I don't know what I do. All I do is set and sigh. Oh, Lord, that last song. She said goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry. She do me, she do you. She's got the kind of loving Lord, I'd love to hear when she called me sweet daddy.
Can't understand a word he's singing, but I think it's really good. Bertrand, 1 to 100. What do you give this kid's yodeling? Go.
A 73.
But it seems I've grown to
get... It goes on like this for a while. I don't know if I have, you know, I don't know if I want to hear 2 hours of a yodeling show.
Look how much better he sounds, though, with musicians and the sound mix.
I got music blues.
And that's him. The guitar, by the way.
I was just going to say, I'll bet it's not him on the guitar. That's him playing
That's
the
him
guitar?
On the guitar.
He's a real
man. Why, Violetta, why do you hate kids?
Man. I don't. Okay.
Talented kids.
No, he's really good. And and he wants to go to college. They gave him some money. I think Walmart helped him out with money to go to college.
Did they really?
Yeah, at the end of the
good
show
for
there.
Them.
And
good
then,
for them.
And Ellen booked him a gig at the Grand Ole Opera.
Really?
Yeah. For Saturday, whatever day week that was. And... apparently
See,
he's playing there.
This is how smart I am. Remember that email conversation the three of us had? I knew that was going to be the prize, too, that he, you know.
She'd get him
always...
a gig at the Grand Ole Opry?
Yeah.
It's 2:14 on WGN. Okay, let's move on to Mark Zuckerberg's testimony before Congress last couple of days. I think it's been really good. I think he sort of needs to have this conversation. I think actually, even though these things are always dog and pony shows where it's more about the senator's questions than the person sitting there's answers, I think they were actually pretty good Q&A. I think they were asking good questions, even if they didn't understand them or the answers that they were getting. I mean, you know some of these guys have flip phones, and the only reason they understand Twitter is because their staff does it. So they're asking, what was there, like 40-some senators were in that room, 40 of them.
Easily.
Asking, all of them getting their turn to ask him a question over a couple of days. Where do we start here, Elif? Are we going to start with Dick Durbin's question? I thought Durbin had a pretty good point. You've probably heard this already. Here is Durbin asking Zuckerberg where he stayed the night before.
Mr. Zuckerberg, would you be comfortable sharing with us the name of the hotel you stayed in last night?
No.
If you've messaged anybody this week, would you share with us the names of the people you've messaged?
Senator, no, I would probably not choose to do that publicly here.
I think that may be what this is all about.
I'm amazed at how poorly coached Zuckerberg seemed.
But that's why you don't put that stuff on Facebook if you don't want people to know where you are.
Hold on. How did he not know that a question like that wouldn't come up? How does he not have a better answer? Tell me if this is a good answer, because maybe this is passive aggressive and you don't want to be combative if you're Zuckerberg. That's not going to serve you. You know, my point is, if you can win this point with Durbin, do you really win anything, right? But he could have said, no, Senator, but I wouldn't volunteer that information. Right. The inference being that people volunteer information. You volunteer information when you go on Facebook. And so Zuckerberg could have said, no, I don't want to share that. And I don't have to share that, Senator. That's the difference between what you're trying to get me to do and what people do.
Yeah, but then you're calling the people who do share that sort of fools. So I think he has to walk a fine line.
I'm not saying that's the right answer, but that is the answer. Or at least it's an answer. It's better than, oh, I didn't blow that one.
I thought he did really well until you focused in on how many times he used the word senator.
Oh, my gosh. You know he was coached to say, okay, now respect these guys. It's a senator. If you forget their name, just go with senator. That's cool. Senator, senator. Everything was senator. Even if he would, like, back up, he would load up senator again. I'd rather hear yodeling than the word senator as many times as I did. Okay, so let's go to the next cut. Elif, is this Senator Hatch asking? Okay, here's Hatch asking about the sort of revenue stream that Facebook does or doesn't have.
Mr. Zuckerberg, I remember well your first visit to Capitol Hill back in 2010. You spoke to the Senate Republican High Tech Task Force, which I chair. You said back then that Facebook would always be free. Is that still your objective?
Senator, yes, there will always be a version of Facebook that is free. It is our mission to try to help connect everyone around the world and to bring the world closer together. In order to do that, we believe that we need to offer a service that everyone can afford, and we're committed to doing that.
Well, if so, how do you sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service?
Senator, we run ads.
I see.
And when that happened, all of his staffers said, it is good he's retiring.
Even I knew that when I was like the kid in the back going, oh, I know, ask me. Ah, today run ads. Oh, I see. You've got 5 minutes. And that's your question?
And so, Mr. Zuckerberg.
These ads, are they for companies? Who sees these ads? Our users do. There was a pause where before Zuckerberg answered that, he made sure that he heard what he just heard.
Well, he was waiting for the other three in the foursome to tell him it was a gimme. You don't have to answer that one.
You can pick that one up and
right.
go.
Yeah, one of the things that a lot of people were, one perspective that a lot of people took that were writing about this was how it just seemed like an informational session on technology lecture.
I think it got better than that, but you're right. I think a lot of them were finding things out that pretty much everybody already knows, or any regular Facebook user knows. But you notice that he said it will be our plan to always offer a version of Facebook that's free. I think this is an important question. If you feel threatened by or annoyed by the sharing of your data, where you've been, cookies that follow you, information that you've revealed to one source that's now elsewhere. If I told you that I could give you a paid version of Facebook, a for-fee version of Facebook, and none of that would happen, would you be game to do that? I think the answer is absolutely you would not. Facebook is free. The internet is free. Google is free. YouTube is free. You have to sometimes watch an ad. But it's free, and I can't imagine a version of Facebook that would be successful that cost any money. Not of Facebook, maybe of some other sharing portal thing. I don't know what it would be, but some website where you'd pay to get in. I mean, you pay for some apps, but would you pay for Facebook if they said, and we won't share your data? Because then, you know what that means is that when you search for shoes, shoe ads don't follow you wherever you go on the internet. I know that's a little creepy. By the way, it's also helpful, but is it so creepy or annoying that you would pay to have that go away? I don't think you would. Maybe it would depend on what the cost was, but I'll bet you wouldn't. Would you pay $10 a month for that to go away? I'll bet you wouldn't. But I know that you would not, or not enough of you would, that it would make make any sense for somebody to offer that service. All right, let's play another soundbite. Actually, we need to take a break. We'll pick it up here in a minute. I think a couple of the questions that were asked were spot on, and I think the answers were pretty good, you know, for what they said or didn't say for Mark Zuckerberg the last couple of days before Congress. We'll get to that in a second. President Trump is thinking of rejoining now the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Have you heard that? You will in the news in 9 minutes on WGN. John, when you do not pay for the product, you are the product. Well, that's the deal. We're talking about Facebook and Zuckerberg's testimony before Congress. The currency is not money. It's your information. It's your, I'll say privacy, but I don't know how private it is when you're volunteering it anyway. So, I don't know. We just did the Mincing Rascals podcast earlier today. Five of us sitting there talking about this story, and none of us seem to be too animated about it. I'm sure there are some people out there that are, but at the end of the day, I don't think you'd be willing to pay for your privacy. Are those temperatures, by the way? Do we have a temperature yet from Wrigley Field on line one or two? Let me see. John, I hope this is the beginning of... John, I really hope this is the beginning of the end for Facebook. I do not understand that. I do not understand it. I'm not a great big Facebook fan. I think it's a great service and utility. And if you don't want Facebook, don't be on Facebook. Okay, here's Zuckerberg testifying again now. In this soundbite, he is asked if the language about those user agreements should be more obvious and clearer.
Don't you agree that companies ought to be required to provide users with clear, plain information about how their data will be used and specific ability to consent to the use of that information?
Senator, I do generally agree with what you're saying. And I laid that out earlier when I talked about what...
Would you agree to an opt-in as opposed to an opt-out?
Senator, I think that that certainly makes sense to discuss. And I think the details around this matter a lot.
Would you agree that users should be able to access all of their information?
Senator, yes, of course.
All of the information that you collect as a result of purchases from data brokers, as well as tracking them?
Senator, we have already a download your information tool that allows people to see and to take out all of the information that Facebook, that they've put into Facebook or that Facebook knows about them. So yes, I agree with that. We already have that.
Couple of points about that. First, Kevin on line one. Hey, Kevin, this is John. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Driving home, I go by Rick DeField all the time, only a mile away, just getting on the 94.
Yeah.
I have 62 degrees.
62. All right, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I wonder if it's even colder at the ballpark. How far are you from the ballpark? About a mile?
I'm just about a mile.
Yeah.
Someone who actually was at the ballpark just called and said that it's 60.
60. Okay, well then, it wasn't 80. So these reports of the temperature's dropping. I'll bet it dropped 10 degrees. It was 74 an hour ago.
Maybe they got that info from their car thermometer.
Thanks for Kevin, I appreciate you listening. Thanks for helping us out, man.
All right.
Have a good day. They say, Mr. Zuckerberg, would you agree that there should be an opt-in rather than an opt-out, right? So when you use apps, when you use Facebook, you're essentially signing away your privacy. And if they always say, if you don't want, you can opt out. There's a tool, it's hidden, you hit the button, and then your information isn't shared. They don't make it easy. Now, why is that? Why do you suppose that is? Well, it's because that's how Facebook lives. That's how it exists. If nobody was sharing data, then Facebook wouldn't be as viable. Yeah, I guess they could still sell ads. But if part of their business model is the sharing of information and they can't do it anymore, then I don't think you're going to have Facebook anymore, or not as you know it. And they say, well, can we get access to the information? And there's another one of these sort of incredulous pauses where he goes, Senator, yeah, we already make that information available. I used the tool myself recently. I looked at what Facebook has on me. And by the way, they have everything that you've done on Facebook. They have stuff you haven't done on Facebook. It's amazing how much it is. But you know what it is? It's your history on the internet. And it's digital. And so it's been saved. And it's not like it's on a billboard that your neighbors see. I don't know why I'm defending Facebook. I am here, aren't I? But I do not see Mark Zuckerberg as the boogeyman. I see him as a guy who created a thing that we like. It's not perfect, but you've already made the decision to trade your privacy for access to that tool that is free.
I just want to add something, which is that when I was in high school, Facebook already did exist. So we had teachers who knew about it and who could warn us not to put things on Facebook like photos that make us look irresponsible.
Or holding a red Solo cup.
Exactly. No. For future employers or for college admissions people to see.
Okay. So what's your point? That
we were lucky that we knew that that information was always going to be archived and
yeah, but and you've
available.
Had that information for 6, 7, 8 years now, right? You've
yeah,
had that information for a very long time.
Up to 10, I think.
Okay, so I think that just goes back to my point. What did you expect? White Sox in Minnesota, Otarje Field tonight, 7:10. Looking forward to that. Let's make it 2 in a row. Nice to hear Schwarby hitting a homer. Fourth inning out at frozen Wrigley Field. It's now 62 or 35 degrees. We're not sure. All right, let's go back to Mark Zuckerberg's testimony before Congress. He was asked about Facebook's responsibility to keep things private. This is Zuck being asked yesterday, should Facebook do more?
Mr. Zuckerberg, does Facebook consider itself a neutral public forum?
Senator, we consider ourselves to be a platform for all ideas.
Let me ask the question again. Does Facebook consider itself to be a neutral public forum? And representatives of your company have given conflicting answers on this. Are you a First Amendment speaker expressing your views, or are you a neutral public forum allowing everyone to speak?
Senator, here's how we think about this. I don't believe that there is certain content that clearly we do not allow, right? Hate speech, terrorist content, nudity, anything that makes people feel unsafe in the community. From that perspective, that's why we generally try to refer to what we do as a platform for all ideas.
Let me try, just because the time is constrained. It's just a simple question. The predicate for Section 230 immunity under the CDA is that you are a neutral public forum. Do you consider yourself a neutral public forum, or are you engaged in political speech, which is your right under the First Amendment?
Well, Senator, our goal is certainly not to engage in political speech. I'm not that familiar with the specific legal language of the law that you speak to, so I would need to follow up with you on that. I'm just trying to lay out how broadly I think about this.
Well, Mr. Zuckerberg, I will say there are a great many Americans who I think are deeply concerned that Facebook and other tech companies are engaged in a pervasive pattern of bias and political censorship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going somewhere with this. That wasn't the bite I was thinking we would play about keeping your information private. Let's pass on that elephant, go to the next one. Here's Zuckerberg now defending Facebook from the notion that it's anti-conservative, that it's anti-Republican. That's where that guy's heading with this.
Are you aware of any ad or page that has been taken down from Planned Parenthood?
Senator, I'm not, but let me just...
How about moveon.org?
Sorry?
How about moveon.org?
I'm not specifically aware of those.
How about any Democratic candidate for office?
I'm not specifically aware. I mean, I'm not sure.
In your testimony, you say that you have 15,000 to 20,000 people working on security and content review. Do you know the political orientation of those 15,000 to 20,000 people engaged in content review?
No, Senator. We do not generally ask people about their political orientation when they're joining the company.
So as CEO, have you ever made hiring or firing decisions based on political positions or what candidates they supported?
No.
Why was Palmer Luckey fired?
That is a specific personnel matter that seems like it would be inappropriate to
speak. You just made
a
specific representation that you didn't make decisions based on political views.
Well,
is that accurate?
I can commit that it was not because of a political view.
Do you know of those 15,000 to 20,000 people engaged in content review, how many, if any, have ever supported financially a Republican candidate for office?
Senator, I do not know that.
Zuck thought he was just going to have to talk about privacy and data. And there he is backpedaling, once again, not really prepared for a line of questioning he should have been prepared for, which is how do you defend the political neutrality of the website? Because this conservative senator thinks that...
That's Ted Cruz, you know.
That is biased. No, I did not know that.
Yeah, that was Ted Cruz.
That it's politically biased against conservatives. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure if Mark Zuckerberg had walked in there knowing the political... registration of the people who worked for him, he could have been in trouble for, and you know, in hiring laws.
Well,
right?
Okay.
Right, and not knowing you're protecting yourself because you don't know what party they belong to.
Yes, Senator Cruz, there's 62% of them are Democrats and 38% vote
trick.
Republican, but we're working on those 38.
That's a damned if you do, damned if you don't question, isn't it? It's kind of, if you don't know, well, boy, it sure seems like they're all, but if you do know, well, then you cannot ask.
That was not about the answer. That was all about the question.
Well, do you guys think that Facebook demonstrates a political bias? Here's what happens.
I don't think they care.
Well, if they did, what, it would be biased against Republicans?
That's what he's implying.
And what did the Russians use to help elect a Republican?
Zuck didn't seem to be ready for that stuff. Zuck, listen to me. Okay, let's just go back to that one. Elif, can you play for us? This is Mr. Zuckerberg talking to the senators about Facebook's responsibility to keep your data private.
I think we need to take a broader view of our responsibility around privacy than just what is mandated.
We've seen the apology tours before. You have refused to acknowledge even an ethical obligation to have reported this violation of the FTC consent decree. I don't see how you can change your business model unless there are specific rules of the road. Your business model is to monetize user information to maximize profit over privacy. I have no assurance that these kinds of vague commitments are going to produce action.
What would you do? Trade your privacy for $10 a month? Do you use, Violetta, do you use Facebook?
I do.
Kevin, do you use Facebook much? Are you on there not as a media personality?
Yeah, I just joined it like a few months ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I hate Facebook.
You've heard about Facebook,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I had it like in college when it was cool for like 30 minutes and then I got rid of it. And now I figured I'd get back on it just for the media stuff, you know, like exposure, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I'm not a big Facebook guy. But even if you did pay for it a month, your stuff's going to get hacked anyways. Everything gets hacked online. All your information's everywhere. Like, I would feel, you're going to feel more safe by paying per month that your privacy is, quote, protected? Really?
That's the thing. If you said, okay, $10 a month, I wouldn't believe that the $10 would protect me.
No, not at all.
But also, it's catered internet, right? The internet's a big place. The whole point of this, it's not your privacy that's up for being stolen. The ads are being catered towards you. You're going to have ads anyway.
And I think that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not
right?
opposed so much to that.
I don't want to see ads for sports bras. I want to see ads for running shoes and tennis rackets, stuff that I don't wear a sports bra, but I do like to play tennis. And if I searched on a tennis racket, I know it's weird, I know it's creepy that those ads will follow you. Here's the one change I think they need to make. And somebody else pointed this out. I forget what the product was. It was like a faucet or no, I think it was a toilet. A guy needed a new toilet seat. So he goes on the internet and searches toilet seats. And then he finds a toilet seat and he buys one. Now, toilet seats are following him everywhere he goes, as if to say, hey, we know you're into toilet seats. Here's some more toilet. He says, I'm not a hoarder. I'm not a collector. I don't have a toilet seat fetish. Right. I bought one and now I don't need any more.
See, like some of it makes sense. Fashion, clothes,
right.
shoes, because you're kind of always constantly kind of keeping
Absolutely.
An eye on that stuff. So it pops up, you're like, eh, okay, you know.
They need
you
to
look
tag things. So
right.
some things need to be like, it wouldn't be hard to go, if somebody buys a faucet or a toilet or, you know, something utilitarian that you don't love, shingles for your roof. Once that's done, you don't need right. to see that anymore.
You know what's awkward? If you buy something for a significant other.
Yeah.
That's
honey,
like,
why is everything on our computer?
Well, you better hope it's
like,
for the significant other.
No, yeah, that like someone's
too.
Looking over your shoulder,
that
and it's
too.
Like, why you got Victoria's Secret ads popping up on your screen?
I didn't get any fancy underwear. What's
right,
that all about,
right.
honey?
So maybe they make us decide. You know, you go through a filter. I want these type of ads. I don't want these type of ads.
I think that's fair.
Maybe you should be in control of the ads you're getting as opposed to your privacy.
And that would make them happy because you're still getting ads.
But Instagram does a really good job with that, where ads, you continuously get them on your Instagram timeline, but you can just click a little icon and basically respond to the ad and say why you don't like it. Well, one, it's not relevant, or two,
yeah,
I see
right.
this ad too often. Mm-hmm. At least they're able to collect that and then re-spit out the ads in a certain way. Like, to me, that makes sense.
Right, but I don't even
feedback on it.
I don't even know where the ads are, so I'm probably thinking like that's someone I follow. Like I don't even on Instagram, I didn't even know there were ads.
You know, the one
when it says sponsored, you know it's
yeah.
an ad.
Yeah, but
or
I like those. I might go get one of those bathing suits.
Yeah, so it's working on you. But
yes,
like so, I get stuff where I'm like, what is this? I would never buy
yeah, but
this.
I was on a major site recently, it was like CNN or something like that. And a little further down, there was an article. It was about wine. I know what it was. It was like 15 great wines that you must have right now or something like that. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. And I don't recognize these labels. And maybe they're neatly priced. And, you know, we like the wine that we have. But I was kind of interested in that material. But then I thought, I think this is a paid ad that I'm reading. And I couldn't tell. I didn't know if... And I don't even know that I should worry about the distinction, because either way, it's some wines I don't know about. And how do I know that the guy who independently wrote this story as journalism knows what I'm going to like anyway, right? So maybe I'm worrying about that point too much. But I did care. I did care if this was an ad written as an article, posted along with other stories on a major site, or was it actually they tasked a reporter to go find good wines for a good price for John Williams? And I couldn't tell. I literally couldn't tell.
I think even the good stuff like that where it's legit, and even if it is an ad, there's sort of a disclaimer at the top. So at least I'm like, okay, well, at least they're telling me that this is an ad and it's a little bit you know, not objective in terms of the whole story. I think websites have gotten better at that. Like the ones that try to completely cloak themselves as complete legitimate, that's normally a warning sign to me, at least. Where I'm like, really, no disclaimer? I don't know about this one.
You know, and I couldn't. And shame on me, I don't have it in front of me. I couldn't find that clear enough disclaimer. So then I thought, okay, maybe this is real, but it was bugging me because I don't know.
But boxes of the wine are showing up at your house. This is the best wine I've ever had.
I don't want to, you know, be duped, and I wasn't sure if I was or not. Kevin, I don't have time for this now that I look up, but have there been a lot of fights in baseball? I thought there were three yesterday. Were there only two?
I only counted two, but
Yankees,
yesterday
Red
sort
Sox.
Of, yeah, and then Padres-Rockies kicked things off, and then it was a classic Yankees-Red Sox brawl.
Isn't it early in the season for that, though? I thought that, you know, late in the summer, the blah, 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 blah. Really? You think they just want to get out of there? Let's say a fight takes so much time.
Yeah.
It's so cold. No?
Yeah, well, Yankees-Red Sox is never a surprise. It could be any time of the year for those. I mean, those guys could just meet outside of the actual season. And in the winter, those two could meet on the streets and some sort of brawl would break out. A little surprised by Rockies-Padres. Yeah, I guess it's kind of early. But, you know, maybe people are just trying to add a little excitement to this.
These weren't pushing matches. These punches were being thrown.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's 2:57. All that racket in the background is Rowan Anna. Coming into the studio.
All right, coming up on the program. Thank you for asking.
Yes,
Congressman Kinzinger is going to be here. You know, he took on the Zuckerberg guy yesterday. But
sure
there's some questions about this and also about what's going on with Syria, because the president said he's about to strike very soon or not soon at all. I don't understand.
I love the question to Sarah Sanders yesterday. They go, so do his tweets mean anything? I mean, if he says it's up but it could be down, then what's the point, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Plus, we have an explanation that will finally make sense about Cambridge Analytica, but more important than Cambridge Analytica, because that's kind of political. The reality is, how safe is your personal stuff you want to keep secret when you're on Facebook or any other social media, right? Or Google, for that matter. You know, so it's like this is the question that we're not asking because we're all caught up in Trump versus not Trump.
It's true.
He has to drag our attention to him no matter what, focus. This is not about that. This is about how, because anybody could be using this for good or for bad.
That's
what's coming up in this hour. Lester Holt's also going to be here. The Undersecretary of the Army is going to be here to make me do 20 push-ups. Richard Roper is going to review Rampage. And the story of the day. Does Donald Trump have a love child? I love this story.
$30,000 for the guy.
$30,000
the doorman, right?
For the doorman to clam up about his love child story. But he's not clamming up about it, and I kind of don't think he does. But it is good news for at least one Trump child, and I'll tell you who that is coming up.